the financial reset has already begun for you.
100%. I think we are a lot closer than many people realize. So I have a feeling that metals are moving east.
When the dollar goes down, that's when gold will go up.
There's a real problem in the debt markets. This is why we're seeing central banks chase into gold rather than the bond markets.
Why should I care what the yen is doing? But you should care very much. Tell us why.
Some are going to come out incredibly well and others could be decimated. And I fear the masses that are financially unsophisticated are going to be decimated. Pay them with their monkey money and keep your gold because it will outperform.
Hi, this is Daniela Cambone, and welcome back to the Daniela Cambone Show here on ITM Trading. Well, my guest says that Powell coming out saying that we may be seeing higher for longer is probably one of the few truths that we'll get from the Federal Reserve. Please welcome to the show Francis Hunt. He's a trader, technical analyst, and a teacher, but you might know him best by his other name, his alter ego, the Market Sniper. He has his own YouTube channel. He also uses that handle on X. I was going to say Twitter, on X. Francis, so nice to see you.
Delighted to be on with you guys. Thank you for having me on, Danielle.
Yes, welcome. I know I've been following your career for a really long time, obviously following your thoughts. And let's start with the latest from the Fed here, because you say when they come out saying, hey, we're not going to be in any hurry to cut rates here, you're taking Powell and the Fed's word for it.
Yes, Danielle, we do. In fact, our predominant theory on interest rates and the actual markets, or the bond market specifically, is that there's a real problem in the debt markets right now. There's just an absence of bid. There's a lack of enthusiasm. There was an auction that didn't go particularly well. It's still 62% foreigner buying, but if you take out the UK and Japan, which I consider as sort of obligated partners, and that curious factor of the Benelux, Belgium, Luxembourg angle, which feels like offshore Feddom, I fear that actually there's a complete absence of bid. And what most people don't realize is there's a fulcrum with debt. As for rates to be cut, that actually means you have to have capital appreciation in the underlying bond and debt market. And since the events of March 2020, our fundamental case has been that the 40-year bull market in the debt markets ended with that final capitulation in rates that went to 0.33, and that we are now in a complete reversal. And unfortunately, the 40-year bull unwinds in a far less escalator into elevator. I think you're in the third of maybe 4 years of real debt down valuation. That points to rate spikes in actual fact. And we think the Fed are going to have to be at the front of that, especially as the duration on their debt's coming down. They're having to roll a lot as well. So much new debt, lack of appetite. We've gone from return on capital to return of capital, the capital preservation. And this is why we're seeing central banks chase into gold rather than the bid coming in on the bond markets.
Interesting. And obviously, I want to talk gold, but I'm jumping a little few chapters here, but I know that you believe this will all lead to a debt collapse. Talk to me and paint that picture for me.
Yes. So debt collapse, I think the way it's going to go, Danielle, is it's also what people need to remember also is that money is borrowed into existence. So you're not going to have crisis in the debt market without corresponding crisis in FX currencies. One example being the USD Japanese yen. You've seen it breaking out to new highs.
Yes.
Something we've been net short the yen, and we've even gone quite big publicly on the best global equities in Japan being superior performers. And we've been on that page for about 2 or 3 years now before Buffett's announcement. And you're seeing the Nikkei for the first time after so many cry wolves going higher. But just to stay with your question, the debt collapse is also going to have the massive variations and wild fluctuations in the FX markets as you look at the relative difference in the interest rate parity of it. And the most extreme example of tier one nations is, in fact, the yen and the dollar. But don't forget, you've got emerging just below that. You've got the South African rand. You've had the Turkish lira, obviously losing an immense amount of value. That could get a new leg. They're sitting in offshore debt in dollar terms, and they're going to need to secure dollars. And this is also why we get the dollar dominance as well. So we're going to get a chase for dollars despite the proliferation because of the offshore scarcity. The rates are getting higher on debt, and foreign currencies are going to have to create more of it to be able to buy dollars unless they're selling a lot of goods to the US. So it's not just debt. We're going to see all hell break loose in the FX markets with this as well. So we've got very big setups. Technically, let me know if you want to see any chart-wise.
Well, you raise a really good point about the yen sinking to the 154 range versus the dollar for the first time in 34 years. And I ask you, Francis, you know, a lot of folks will say, well, why should I be bothered? As you know, especially an American investor, why should I care what the yen is doing? But you should care very much. Tell us why.
Well, it's a very sophisticated, we tend to have a bit of a westernized view. You know, until recently, that was the second biggest economy. And they are a little bit of a case of a microcosm of a bit before. The Japanese began quantitative easing before the Western world did. So they're a look into the future. They also have the same demographic issues, only again, more advanced. So they're a very interesting model. It's almost like a peek into the future in the same way that you would say, you know, California today, maybe Midwest, you know, 5 years later, et cetera, in terms of various developments, you've actually got a global instance of that. So they went hyper indebted. Of course, the one big difference is they don't have the benefits of global issuance of world currency. But one of the things they do have is most of their debt has been bought domestically while America relies on international buyers of their debt and is losing some of that stickiness with the likes of Saudi and the BRICS nations obviously not engaging in that. So that's why Japan's interesting. It is a little bit of a peek in the future with a couple of twists.
You brought up gold. If you don't mind firing in that chart, Francis, I'm interested to learn why you're quite bullish the metal.
Decidedly, yes, decidedly. I've actually got the rates on here first, and I'll actually, if you'll allow me to work through the rates, because they were also highlighting how the 10 years recently hit new highs. I'm going to roll that into the gold question. Many people didn't see that this is a big, big reversal in 2020. And now more and more people are starting to think it's possible. We've had this pullback. The rates are going higher. We're at 4.5. We've got a little bit of an edging back today. But in spite of that raising rates environment, which is supposed to be bad for gold, coming back to your question, we're actually getting the strength of gold, and we're getting that other shoe to drop, which is strength on gold in an environment where dollar is actually dominant as well. So you're seeing rates up, you're seeing dollar strong, and you're seeing within that gold up. So that's why I just think that's useful. Let's get the gold chart up as well. We've drawn a lot of structures on this one, but I really want to show a couple of things that I think will truly pop for you. I've got a couple of charts that I really think are, wow, they just are the, you know, the big gold argument for the bullish case. So first of all, the 2K. The 2K, we were rejected on the 2K a number of times there with just technical runs without holding. So this breakout, that's not quite on the 2K line. Let me just correct myself there. So these rejections once, twice, three times, and we sometimes say the fourth time a lady, as the Lionel Richie song would go, that was a key break that sat there. And that's our gold lady that's been birthed for us. That was a particularly interesting structure. And I think we're getting another one of those happening right now. I'm going to drop it into the lower time frame so you could see what happened on that 2K. After we broke it, it served a little bit as support. And if I just let those lines come back again, you'll see that 2000 mark in the dashed blue. This is typical of our favorite trading setup, which is a volatility squeeze, Danielle. Because you get super low risk, you can have quite tight stops, you can bring in a little bit of leverage because you've got that risk, and that you're expecting an expansive move to the upside. And that was all happening as it was sitting on that 2K level, having now broken it, dominated the level, and now just coming back and leaning on it. Very traditional technical analysis, very good opportunity to get long, and you can see how that served since then. We've got, you know, $400 on the 2K market at its high, and we're holding on to a large part of that at 377, 2377.
Just a few more thoughts on what's really driving this trade here. I mean, I think you bring up the really good point that obviously the dollar also ripping here, and that's just, you know, busting a lot of myths about, you know, when the dollar goes down, that's when gold will go up. So talk to me about how much central bank buying is really fueling this rally, or do you see other elements at play here that we need to be aware of?
I think the significant buying is central bank buying, but I do also think retail is waking up to this. So the significant buying is bank buying, and it's also the fact that they are not putting that money. It's what they no longer buying that they might have. And I think this is the lean on treasuries that is part of the problem. The fear trade could become precious metals more than debt markets. So when, you know, when I did my MBA, the, you know, a 10-year treasury was the risk-free rate. You had to do a business that superseded it. Otherwise, you put your money in treasuries because your business is not beating the hurdle rate. I'm going to put forward, and I had this discussion with Bill Tolto of Gatta, is that there's now a risk premium of potential failure and great capital loss. They did a 100-year Austrian bond, and I think those things are down 60% plus. That's an incredibly low interest rates when we were at the NERP-ZERP era, where everybody was actually being coerced into believing that we could, in fact, even have negative rates or that zero rates would be forever. And I've always biased to the inflationary. Central banks' inflation is policy. They want you on a greased pole slipping down. You get dragged into higher tax brackets, and it bails them out of their indebtedness by devaluing the debt. So inflation is a billionaire and asset holder's enrichment tool. But for the rest of the middle class, the working class, and the working poor, it is absolutely a poverty tool. And that's why we're also getting that Gini curve that's so hollowed out now, and you're getting those ridiculous percentages of wealth held by the top 1%.
Let's talk price targets here. I mean, obviously with mainstream media even covering gold and waking up to gold, and there's obviously excitement back. You know, what could you see as a next price targets for the metal here within the next 6 months?
So we've spoken of a 3K level. I'll show you, we have, that's just the first step in a number. So we're going to be staircasing. I'm actually going to have to pivot the chart to log scale, because this is, some bigger numbers are going to be coming down the tube, I think personally, for a lot of people. So the next leg up, which is a typical flag leg up, which I'm highlighting, is at the doorstep of 3,000. I want to highlight that the round numbers have been very, very important. Don't forget the role of derivatives. And there's a concept called pegging, where calls and put options are always clustered on the big rounds. And there's no bigger rounds than the 1,000 mark, which was over there. You could see how you were rejected and you wound up for quite a long time before we broke 1,000. And then again, as I'd already illustrated, at the 2K. So it makes sense that we're going to have a fairly quick jog up, I think, to the 2,800, 900 range, and potentially a technical run of the 3K. And then sort of there's a bit of a crisis, and they don't want that canary to tweet too loud, and there'll be some remedial action. But the problem is the ability to push gold back into sustained bear markets for long periods is getting ever shorter. And I want to show you this. In fact, I'm going to pivot this chart slightly, if you'll allow me, Danielle, of answering this. I'm going to take the BLS's stats. Not that we accept everything they say, in the best of faith, but let's just say we do. And I'm going to divide the gold price by the consumer price index for all urban consumers in there. And I'm going to show you that there'll be many people watching this and saying, I've heard about gold, and you got your gold bugs never shut up, and the wolf never comes. There's too much crying wolf and all of that. But I really think this chart brings a lot of things home for us. You are really early in what's going to be a very big move, in my opinion. I actually fear it's going to be so big that you won't be able to trade at all. There'll be a stop reset, and then there'll be a formal reval to try get faith back in a system. I still think gold may be used. I don't see us going back to a gold standard. It's too restrictive on the people that don't want that. But I do actually think you won't necessarily, and I'm a trader and investor, so I'm invested in gold, but I'm hoping to trade a little bit of this, but I have to bear in mind, we could go into counterparty risk, we could go into lots of grid failures, because actually, as good a news as it is for gold bugs, it's what it says about the financial system, the social unrest, and everything else that could be going down in that environment that concerns me. And, you know, financial banks are part of the intermediation of credit. They're part of the debt collapse, the currencies, etc., the derivatives exposure. There's going to be a lot of burnt ground when these things start going bad. So I'm certainly a big fan of own it physically as well. Counterparty risk is going to be huge. So this is the chart, and you can see that actually from the 80s spike over here, we haven't met our full, so there's a CPI adjustment deflator in that. That's your gold price divided by the official stats deflator. If we start going towards 5 and maybe even getting to double-digit inflation, the setup that I'm getting out of this technically is saying we're going 7 times higher. So I have a draw tool than the current level. This is a log scale chart capturing many, many aspects. I'll just do this draw for you because I really think it's fun and it'll give a lot of the gold bugs, and we haven't spoken of silver, a little bit of encouragement. Yeah. But this setup target, these values aren't going to mean anything too much right now because we're dividing something by something else, but we're sitting at 7.6. That value, gold divided by whatever the future official CPI stats will be, is going to go up to around 52. And this is going to be such a violent move. Log scale, remember as well. So this is a much bigger move than it looks like, that purple line up top there. So if you're hitting 52, you're about seven plus times on the 7.6. So whatever that annual, just to break this down for simple people, if we're getting 5 or 6% every year, you're going to get that on your gold, and you're going to go up 7 times quicker than whatever that rate is for that target to be met. So we are looking at a generational squeezing structure here. This is a very big time frame chart. It's monthly. We've got the 1980s, 79 highs here that followed the post-Vietnam War, Nixon 71, all these narratives. And I feel that this is going to break up and make all-time highs in this environment. So that's my Super Bowl chart for you, a one of two or three. To fully answer your question, and jump in and stop me at any point, but I'll take you to another Super Bowl chart if you're up for hearing about it, and that is our gold silver ratio. In fact, I think I'm going to jump in if I'm carrying on too long. Go ahead.
No, I was going to say, well, first of all, I love looking at the gold silver ratio chart, but I'm happy that you bring up price points, because I'll often hear, you know, with newcomers, especially to gold, who haven't been exposed to gold yet, you know, they're looking at these levels thinking, eek, so it looks, you know, obviously all-time highs here. I don't want to get in at these prices. But what I've been hearing from so many experts like yourself is, well, no, it's, you know, these might be very relatively cheap prices for what they're forecasting in the future.
Multi-generational move, Danielle. I mean, we after the 2.9, I didn't mention the other numbers, but there was one at 7.5, and then there's further even beyond that for gold. You know, things take ages to happen. There's that old saying of, you know, you wait, decades for small things to happen, and then in days, decades happen. I think I've really messed that saying up, but the long and short of it is suddenly things can catch up with you in a very, very chronic way in terms of all of that. So let me just get that gold silver ratio, because there's a triggering point. We have a technical triggering. Everybody asks when. To me, reset's already happening. It's not one moment. It's not like we have a habit in media and journalism to say, well, Lehman's. Well, in actual fact, the problem started long before Lehman's. You build up, and then there's a straw that breaks the camel's back tendency. And then it gets a banner event, like a collapse of a big bank, and that gets the tag that gets applied. But in actual fact, it was hyper-lending, lowered lending standards, rating agencies encouraged to go to sleep. It was a lot of things, and it was slowly building up. And in the same way, reset is very much like that, and it's already here, in my opinion. This gold-silver ratio.
The financial reset.
Oh, yes.
The financial reset has already begun for you.
100%. And that's my point, is it's a series of small shoes that are dropping. And each day I'm noticing more and more of those little shoes dropping, like what I've mentioned, gold going up on a strong dollar in a rising or a retreating to cutting interest rate environment, which should absolutely be death knell for the precious metals. You know, you got this templated thinking that that should happen. The template no longer holds. You know, this, the moments that the times they are changing, and you've had a shift. And I want to make this point again, Danielle, this is really useful. March 2020, the super high spike that you got, blow off in bond valuations, and of course the dip in rates, coincided with the super high silver gold-silver ratio that I'm showing you at 129. If you look at these two events are the alter egos. One is the old physical money of trust, and the other one is the fiat financial system. So the fact that these two were reversing at the same time, and of course this was very negative for gold, having this 128 value gold-silver ratio, which is generally a barometer for overall bullishness in precious metals. The silver had a serious plummet down to $11 at that point. We're actually in a structural complex head and shoulder, and we've got this dark red dotted line, and we've been actually held in a very much of a containment space technically here on the gold silver ratio, which is grinding up. This is typically associated with flags, Danielle, in traditional technical analysis, if you get a channel like that. And we're just on the base. If we break this level, and it's not a single level, it's actually increasing all the time, because they're being forced to let gold go, and the central banks are buying it. But the manipulation, my sense says, it's the thinner silver market. It's more easy to bully. And what's happening is silver's being allowed to go a little bit, but not too much. And when we had the slap down on last week, Friday, silver got a big slam. But the problem happens when that breaks, because I think we then fall straight to the neckline of 65, and then that breaks, we're down to 32s. And in my Super Bowl scenario, which I see an overshoot, the sins are so deep, we don't even know how much has been exposed. I was affected by the FTX collapse. You suddenly found out about, the WhatsApp group type payment schedules and all the chaos behind the scenes. I think that is such a small microcosm. And the same for the Bernie Madoff events. If you look at all the complexities, the hubs of our existing financial system, the Fed lost, I think, 100 plus billion last year. They must have a capital base of a pinprick, and they've got this huge inverted pyramid on it. I think the level of sins, if we ever get to full disclosure, although I'm sure some stuff we'll seek out, will be beyond comprehension. And there will be such a charge for metals that it'll become unobtainium entirely, and people will be paying insane prices for them. And that's why I see that stopgap, and then that, hey, we need to bring faith back into the system. Let's do a reval and proxy. There's lots of other things that go with that. The tokenization, the development of blockchain, we can speculate on the future there. I'm not sure you're ready to be dragged into that territory. But just keeping it to gold, I could see a single digit as part of this collapse and overshoot. Remember, markets overshoot. Just as the 128 is an absolute criminal overshoot for silver, they pull it out at about 7 or 8 ounces for every ounce of gold. Bear in mind, and historically we've been based on around 15. We could dip into single digits, and that could be happening with gold already at 10,000 odd. I'm speculating. We have a target of 7.5. I'm pushing it out, but if you get to single digits, you could be looking at 4 digits silver. And that sounds scary, and everyone says there's so many cry wolves and silver never moves until it does. And then all that pressure, multi-decade pressure, gets unwound. It's game over, and you get an absolute streak. And the longer the suppression that has gone on, the greater the eventual move and the likely overshoot that is correspondent with that. Just like the collapse in the dot-com, Amazon fell from 107 right down to $6. but actually probably was worth somewhere in between, given its prospects and its dominance position. You're going to get that in spades on silver as well. So bearing in mind that 7x on the gold, if you're thinking that the gold-silver ratios could dip to a 9.99 or a single digit below 10, you're talking about a very, very juicy prospects for silver as well.
Not to open Pandora's box, but why not? When you say they had to let gold go because central banks are buying it, right? Are you not concerned that, well, if they're still buying gold, that gold's going to get slapped down so they can come in and keep buying?
If it's a central bank buying, I'm not sure it's being loaned out. I think most of the selling, especially that gets categorized as not-for-profit selling, like Friday afternoons, very late in the silver or the gold markets with huge volumes on a very thin market, that smacks just of panic and protecting a position that's hurting at the moment. Central banks are, I wouldn't say that they are necessarily directly associated with that. They might be concerned, particularly on the US side. You might find that there's actually a bit of joy on the Russia and Chinese side for doing that. And we've often speculated, if you look at the closes, the gold generally, there's three charts for gold. If you take the Asian session only, the open and close, it's a far larger, huge parabola. In other words, you just take the percentage growth through the Asian session. And if you take the London through to the New York close, it's actually a negative chart for gold. And the actual chart for gold is the hybridization of those sessions, which is still up. So that shows you what a big parabola it is in the East. So I have a feeling that metals are moving east. And I don't know. You know, I'm a speculator. I'm always curious. I ask the question, maybe the losses on treasuries are being compensated by maintaining a discount window for the East due to their position in treasuries for not dumping treasuries. Because were I China, and they, by the way, are telling their population to not only buy gold, they've now started to tell them to buy silver as well. Those trade calls have been a better independent financial advisor than the likes you'd probably get from Biden in terms of his oil fund and everything else he's been doing on the financial and strategic side. So I wonder if there isn't a migration, and it seems that way. You know, Hong Kong, through many different areas, as a South African, I know there's a lot of blood gold being scraped out the ground in a very subsistence mining kind of manner. None of that ends in the pools, and it's going straight via Saudi to China as well. So there is an absolute suction, a magnet for metals coming out of the East at the moment.
Francis, while we're on the charts, I'd love to get your thoughts on what's happening in Bitcoin as we're speaking now under pressure ahead of the halving. What's your take on Bitcoin price here?
Yes, so my take is always specific to time frame, Danielle. I'll comment on the short time frame first. So we were bullish from the 25K. So I'm going to bring up the Bitcoin chart for you, if you'll allow me a sec. And we think we're in a macro bull. However, there's been a little bit of, I would make the point that gold has been the performer during this period, and Bitcoin has not coped with the fear over the last 2 weeks. So this is talking short time frame. Obviously, it's the high beta, and in an anti-fiat world, it has climbed far more than gold so far. I'm personally a tiny bit suspicious about its creation, but I will trade it for going up. I won't trust it fully. On the basis that I think it could be an on-ramp to the CBD system almost. How does it coexist once CBDCs are in place? Are you going to have a restricted CBDC and keep that token or dump it for Bitcoin? Well, I think everybody would rather dump any tokens they get. So can they coexist? They possibly could. It could be rich man's money and then peasant's money. But there's a lot of things that haven't been answered right the way back to the 1996 doc on the creation of Bitcoin, and it also diverts money away from gold as an anti-fiat and a protection. So there is that adversarial. Mm-hmm. However, I avoid positioning myself as Peter Schiff or a Bitcoin maxi just because I don't need to be in this mud throwing. If there's a market and it gives good charts and setups, I'm prepared to trade it. I'm not always going to say that I would sit a long term and say in this I will trust entirely. So Short term, it's done a little bit disappointingly compared to the challenges. It hasn't liked the notion of the cuts in interest rates. We had a little bit of a grind line over here. This is squeezing up. This is after making its high, it attempted to make a new high, failed to make a new high. We typically call this a rising wedge, and we've had a breakdown through it. And in fact, you've run that low. It has made a new high on this the previous 69K, and we expected there to be a stall. However, that stall's been a little bit longer than I thought it would be. And generally, I expect it to be slightly correlated to gold as an anti-fiat. I call gold the sort of god market of the anti-fiats and Bitcoin the god market of crypto, but it still falls under gold. It's underperformed in the short term. However, I think there's often a little bit of a juggle and a bit of a dip in the halvening cycles, roundabout now coming up quite close, by the way, the halvening, which is a big event. So you could find it finds its bootstraps again. So I will trade it to the long side, but in terms of long-term investment, I prefer to be in something I hold rather than digitization.
Well said, Francis. I guess before we wrap, for the folks at home, you know, new to your work, new to you, I think your thoughts surrounding what the reset looks like for you is quite interesting. And I'd love for you to share, you know, what it means to you, a financial reset, what you think it would look like, and how far away we could be from that.
100%. I think we are a lot closer than many people realize. I also want to highlight that can sound a bit excessively black-pilled. You were born to cope with these times. That's why you're living through these times. This is a challenge. This is game theory should be applied. Look at it as an arcade game. Make sure you're a survivor through to thriver. And we focus on what we think is the financial planning you should do for a reset environment. And this is totally not what a typical independent financial advisor will do through the big, you know, 60-40 portfolio type era of bonds and equities. We think a different rule applies, and you have to transition and carry your wealth, the old rickety train. The iron horse is dying and we're being transported to a monorail. And we think gold plays a big part in arching that over because you can physically hold it. We think it's going to be uncertainty. But inside of that, there are huge opportunities. There is going to be a polarization of wealth for people watching this right now. Some are going to come out incredibly well and others could be decimated. And I fear the masses that are financially unsophisticated are going to be decimated. So our goal and value proposition is to help people navigate probably the biggest economic case study that will ever exist for centuries, right here, right now. Wow. And you were chosen to experience it. If you play well, you come out smelling roses, and we're here to help you do that. And themarketsniper.com is where you go to engage with us.
Wow, the biggest economic case study, and we are just all players in it. But just a point on that, because yes, we speak so much about, you know, if you can own gold, own silver, whatnot. But for those at home, right, who maybe don't have the means, to invest in that, or I mean, what can folks do that are small things that are attainable and reachable goals, Francis?
Very good and fair question. And I want to serve everybody, whether they can afford our services or not. Taking action and getting yourself into physically good shape and mental good shape. This is not only a financial stress. It's going to feel like a psy operation that you're going to have to go through. So galvanize yourself. You've been made to run an obstacle course. That means get fit, get healthy, and take small bits of action every day. If you, we even have a Bullion Vault link where literally you can buy $10 a month. If that's all you can afford, buy $10 a month of silver and gold. Just the fact that you're slightly better off prepared each day is a psychological win. You can only do what you can do. Not everybody's a millionaire. Go and start small. And the same thing in terms of the social prepping and the other areas. I encourage you to check that out. I won't go into detail here. It's a financial channel. But start small with a small monthly contribution. If you paid weekly, do it weekly. Do whatever you can. And by the way, just on that question as well, some people say, well, if interest rates spike, should I get out of my debt? If you're on fixed debt, I still think they might try reneging in time, but you're probably protected for a while. So pay them with their monkey money and keep your gold because it will outperform. So don't not start saving because you still have debt. You want to have the fastest horses. You want to... Go ahead.
When you say, you know, obviously we want to be mentally and physically fit. What are your concerns there? I mean, is it an apocalyptic situation? Obviously we know the health benefits, but I'm just curious to know what you think could happen that we need to have.
The concern I have is for the people that manage the system, in terms of what they will bring about. That is almost a very big distraction. It could be warfare, that it creates a lot of inflation. When you're getting disinflations, you could get a very big scaled warfare. We already have a couple of tinder boxes that would be easy to scale up and have people pulled in on both sides, various other things. So I'm quite happy to have a Southern Hemisphere personal living location. And I'm quite happy to also have access to rural and direct access to local farming and all of that. So supply chain issues, security issues, there's quite a lot that can actually be said on that. It's kind of the bug out camp. Have a bug out solution. Don't treat it as freaky to have that discussion. It's not that we say it has to happen. It's say set a low bar. And if you're over prepared, that's just awesome. Don't get caught with your pants down, though. That falls into the category of deeply underprepared.
Yeah, thank you for answering that. So basically, have a plan B, and it sounds like you have a plan B, C, D, E, F, G.
And even still, some of those plans will fail, Danielle. I'm not expecting to be, I've been a champion on it. But you just need one or two things you've got right. And if you can, and if you have your balance sheet in your hand in precious metals, you can, even if you get it wrong on the property investment side or something, you can buy your way in to a good group of community. Get local, get community connected, know who your neighbors are, make sure you choose the right areas and the right kind of people.
Really good thoughts. Francis, I thoroughly enjoyed this conversation. Come back soon, please.
We'd love to. Thank you very much for having me, Danielle.
The market sniper, folks. Hope you enjoyed that conversation. I sure did. Be sure to sign up at DanielleCombone.com to stay on top of all these exclusive interviews. And we spoke so much about gold investing and building a strategy, getting a plan B. You can reach out to one of my fabulous colleagues over at ITM Trading by booking a Calendly appointment at the link below. It's a free strategy session. Do it. It's awesome. We'll see you soon.